The setting is a courtroom. There is no dock. The tabloid industry could be forgiven for thinking there might as well be one. A light has been shone on some of their practices. It's been an unforgiving light at times. Paul McMullen, who studied journalism with the Education Secretary Michael Gove, provided a vivid account, which some have questioned, of life at the News of the World. He told the Inquiry about the time he pretended to be a rent boy and was hired by a priest.
So there's two of us in our underpants running through a nunnery at midnight after getting the priest. And it was such fun. So that's the kind of lengths you would have to go to get proof to run a story. So would we hack phones? Yes, but it's not necessary all the time.
As well as hacking, witnesses have spoken about blagging, pretending to be someone to extract confidential information, and complete fabrication, stories in print which just weren't true. The targets of the popular press were the famous and those like the McCanns, who first tried to use the power of the media to find their daughter and then ended up suspects, the focus of false headlines such as Maddie sold by hard-up McCanns. The impact of such unforgiving attention was highlighted again and again. Sienna Miller said the constant surveillance of her phone and her emails left her feeling violated and paranoid. The actress was also pursued by paparazzi photographers.
You know, I would often find myself, I was 21, at midnight running down a dark street on my own with 10 big men chasing me. And the fact that they had cameras in their hand meant that that was legal. But if you take away the cameras, what have you got? You've got a pack of men chasing a woman. And obviously that's a very intimidating situation to be in.
The issue of whether or not famous people bring it upon themselves was raised at one point. According to this argument, whinging celebrities use the media for their own ends and then complain when subjected to coverage they had no control of. Charlotte Church, in her evidence, talked about there being no rule book when dealing with a tabloid press. The singer said she couldn't see the justification for paying her first teenage boyfriend money for his story.
I just remember thinking, why is it okay that an editor or somebody senior in a newspaper could pay an unemployed boy from Cardiff tens of thousands of pounds to reveal intimate sexual details about another 17-year-old girl? I couldn't quite get my head round that. It happened again when I was 19.
This is an inquiry which is looking at how newsrooms treat the public and those they employ. Matt Driscoll was a News of the World sports reporter who fell out with the then-editor Andy Coulson, who went on to work for David Cameron in opposition and in government. Mr. Driscoll was the victim of bullying. He became ill, he was sacked, and he won nearly £800,000 in compensation at an employment tribunal. He said his career in the industry was over.
I'm the guy who's taken on the bosses, really. Who'd want to employ someone who's taken on the boss and won, and is also happy to talk out about it? And I'm happy to highlight exactly how bad it was and how bad the treatment I had to suffer was. So I can't imagine any editor wanting to snap me up tomorrow.
So what of those who've come in for such criticisms? The bulk of their defence will be delivered in the new year. News International has apologised for hacking and, tellingly, has accepted the illegal practice could have continued at the News of the World even after the tabloid's royal editor was jailed. More than one witness has complained that the actions of a minority are sullying the reputations of the majority. Neville Thirlbeck was the News of the World's chief reporter. He's been arrested for phone hacking, an allegation he denies. In his testimony, he delivered a glowing judgment on a paper which is no more.
It was staffed by some of the best journalists on Fleet Street who worked with great diligence and integrity. They are an exemplary bunch of people who could work on any newspaper in the world. And I was privileged to be part of that organisation.
Listening to all of this and interjecting intermittently has been Lord Justice Leveson. With time against him, he's got to decide how the press should be regulated. Does he plump for a beefed-up status quo, the Press Complaints Commission with muscle, or go for something tougher? The High Court judge doesn't want the hand of history to pass him by.
I want this inquiry to mean something. I am, and I repeat, very concerned that it should not simply form a footnote in some professor of journalism's analysis of the history of the 21st century while it gathers dust.
When Piers Morgan gave evidence yesterday, he was questioned robustly. Others who've been at the helm of Britain's papers, or who are still in charge, can expect a similar treatment. There have been hints during the hearings that the Murdochs, Rupert and James, could be called. The Leveson inquiry is just getting into its stride.